Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios, this is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams will be with you until 6 tonight. A little bit later this hour, around 4:35, Barry Wilner. He's with the Associated Press up in New York, pro football writer. The website also, Pro32 obviously representing the NFL teams, pro32.ap.org. Just after 5, Barrett Salee, not only national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And then around 5:35, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He is with GoVols247.com. Zach, hope your Tuesday is going great.
It's going good. I just swallowed some water the wrong way, so I might cough in a second.
Well, look,
it was just right as we got in.
You know, after my issues with coughing over the last 5 or 6 weeks at times, luckily, I think, knock on wood, that part is gone. It still lingers just a little bit in the lungs, but I'm hopeful that that part of COVID-19 is history. So I'm the last one to talk if you end up coughing.
There's nothing worse than, one, coughing right now, just in public, right? Because then everybody... the eyes just dart right over to you. But two, if you're ever just in a like a meeting or, you know, some sort of group thing where everybody, there's individuals talking and then sitting and moving around and stuff like that, and you swallow water the wrong way and there's no stopping it because, you know, it hurts your throat, right? Like, you really have to cough and to get it all out, I guess. I don't know, but it's just the natural inclination. There's nothing worse when that happens. Everybody starts looking at you thinking you're crazy.
That's like why I'm hearing my voice right now. And I, you know, you hear, when you're talking to a microphone with the headphones, you hear it, and it's like, wow. So this is my voice with strength behind it, because with having issues with the constant coughing for several weeks, you could just tell the difference. It's like, oh, I like this version. I like this. I like the fact that I can still talk this way. By the way, when you're talking coughing, it reminds me of the bad joke as a kid. What did one coffin say to the other?
I don't know.
Is that you coughing?
Oh, I get it.
I'm sorry. I don't know. That one just, you know, decades old. I don't know who the first person ever to say it.
Why do you know a decades old joke? Is it because that you're decades old?
Because George Plaster and Watson Brown told me.
There you go.
There you go. There. See, you like the way
Deflect.
That's like the one time since, you know, love the folks with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. One night I was bowling, and it was not here, but it was down when I was growing up as a teenager. And I turned around. It was so quiet. I said, you know, it's so quiet in here, you could hear a pin drop. Get it? Bowling pins? Thank you very much. That's what I got for today.
They just slowly shake their heads and look away.
I was trying to get the eye roll as people are stuck in traffic. You know, that's the direction I was heading with that.
Yeah,
so.
I felt it. Felt it right.
What about you? We've got college basketball underway. I'm getting a grip of what we can expect from certain teams. Kentucky so far didn't look good as far as getting upset over the weekend. They got a big game tonight, for example, against Kansas. So I'm getting a feel of college basketball in the COVID-19 era. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, games getting canceled just like we saw with football. But with this many teams, you know, obviously you're going to have more cancellations. So still slowly getting into what these teams are going to be producing on and off the courts this year.
Yeah, early college basketball, I mean, this is one of those things I think we, you know, talk about it so much is, you know, the poll positions. Where are they at right now? Where's the polling? Where are these teams, you know, ranked? What's the number next to their name? The early seasons, you just don't – I don't really care. The early games of this, I don't care, because you look at Kentucky, right? Kentucky, every year, they have a whole new crop of kids come in. They have a whole new crop of kids leave. And I used to say it's like an 18-wheeler. Calipari and that Kentucky system, they're like an 18-wheeler. It starts off, it's bumpy, it feels weird. It's just, you know, you can't really, you're not smooth at all. But by the time they get around to the SEC tournament, they get closer towards the SEC tournament and playoff play, that 18-wheeler hits 80 miles an hour. Everything loosens up. Everything becomes smooth, and there's no stopping it. So Kentucky's one of those teams that I'm never worried about when they first come out. And really the first few weeks, they're going to lose a game here. They're going to pick a game up there. But and the same goes for, your Dukes, I know Kansas already got beat once. Teams like that. Just relax on the first. There's always the over worry on, oh, this team got, I can't believe blank team lost. Virginia got upset by San Francisco, which I made a hefty little sum on.
I like the fact San Francisco did that.
Good. You want the upsets to happen, right? But the upsets early on in the season to me mean nothing.
I mean, a couple of teams that's been impressive so far early on. Texas, Coach Martin, what Texas
Shaka?
Been able to do.
Have you seen his hair?
I was getting ready to go, though. But people have not talked about what he's done on the court with his team. People are talking about his hair in the COVID-19 era. So
I thought
if you haven't seen it,
I mean, he was bald at one point, but yeah, he's got like the whole fro going on. Almost,
I'm not going to talk. There were the 6 weeks that I didn't get a haircut back in the day. My hair grows fast, and so I was looking, like I was trying out for a rock and roll band. I mean, it was getting to that point. So I'm not going to say much about people's hairstyles during COVID-19.
I need one right now. Not going to lie. It's getting a little long. It's getting a little long around the ear. It's getting annoying. Like, it starts touching the inside of the ear, and you're like, ugh, I need that cut.
USC, another team, Southern Cal, off to a decent start so far this year. So
yeah, it's just, you got to let it wait. You got to let it breathe. And this is the other thing, too. Vanderbilt's already had this where games got canceled for their men's team. We don't know where the season's going to go. I mean, look
Vanderbilt's
at the NFL.
Women's game. Vanderbilt's women's game tomorrow called off. So
is it called off tomorrow? Did that happen?
If I'm not mistaken, that's what I saw.
Okay, it could be. And so,
unless I misread that.
Yeah, we'll fact check that. But I just, look at the NFL and the problems they're having.
I should just trust myself. But, yeah, the Vanderbilt contest with Texas Tech, it's been canceled. And so they were supposed to host the Red Raiders tomorrow. But due to circumstances surrounding COVID-19.
4 hours ago this came out on their Twitter.
Canceled. See, I should just trust myself sometimes. I don't know why.
See, I looked at it this morning. And I was wondering if they had done that yet. So, actually,
Then you started making me second guess.
Right.
Tennessee Titans, by the way, it's happened just before the show. They signed linebacker Will Compton. So he's back in the saddle again, signed to the active roster from the practice squad. So back and forth, he's back to the active roster.
Yeah, they keep keeping him around, especially while, you have some of their players. Now Jayon Brown's out. He's having to fill that. He's filling that Jayon Brown role, and they've been keeping him around, so it's good that they're bringing him back. He played well, I thought, on Sunday, too. He made some big tackles and was playing the ball pretty well, so he's obviously not going to be Jayon Brown, but it's good to have somebody there that's been around this system and knows the guys. Obviously, you have the Bussin' with the Boys and everything that happens here locally, but he knows the system, and he's a fan favorite, my man. Woof, that guy. They love him.
The ratings are out as far as TV ratings. It's also, the Titans-Colts game on Sunday, that was the huge number on Sunday, and I'm trying to get the exact wording on this from our good buddy Mark Benda, who sent it out. But it was the number one watched sporting event, which started back on Monday and ended on Sunday. But it wasn't just the number one for this week. As far as regular season game goes, I mean, you have to go back a while from the last time. And that's one of the things that we talk about, with like the Vanderbilt situation and, having a disgruntled fan, an angry fan, to the point where then you get an apathetic fan. Well, the fact that the game delivered a 29-9, right? It was the best rating locally for a regular season Titans game. You have to go all the way back to September of 2011. A game against Baltimore had a 30.6. So it's been 9 years, 10 seasons ago, since the last time the Tennessee Titans posted a number, which we saw against Indianapolis on Sunday.
And I have a feeling, it's been, like you said, 9 years? We talk about baseball. The
Black Eyed Peas had a feeling, too.
There you go. He's never missed a ground ball. And then he misses one, and he misses two. I have a feeling that this Cleveland Browns game, probably going to hit that same exact mark. Probably going to go over that mark, just because, once again, it's the same kind of standard where the Browns need this win very badly. The Titans need to continue their winning ways. People are wanting to follow the storyline right now, that 1 o'clock game, or, well, 1 o'clock Eastern game on Sunday. I have a feeling it's going to set that mark a little bit higher.
I don't know about you, but obviously the ratings speak volume. There's a lot of Alabama football fans here in Nashville and Middle Tennessee, just like there are Auburn. I don't think those fan bases get enough credit. I bring it up because the fact that the game, the Iron Bowl on Saturday, produced a 12.1. I mean, that is a huge number for a college football, because usually each week, 1 through 5 is an NFL game, like the two games on, and they, I don't know why you're paying attention, they were blowouts, but the two games on Thanksgiving, number 3 and number 4 on this list, the Houston-Detroit game, a 15.8. Washington and Dallas, 15.3. So that was numbers 3 and 4. But Auburn and Alabama came in at number 5 with a 12.1, which is huge when you consider the fact that with college football, you know, there's 32 NFL teams. But with college football, I mean, we have 130 teams playing major college football. So to get a rating like that, huge numbers. And a little bit had to do with the fact that the either there's a lot of Alabama grads or a lot of people on the Alabama train, or just the significance of the Iron Bowl. But a huge number there.
I think you're right on that front. But I think the other side of it, too, going back to the Thanksgiving games, is so many more people were separated in Thanksgiving. You know, they didn't go to the large events and all that, so you had more households just watching, right, in all these different areas. So I bet you that would play into a lot of these numbers right now.
Well, I actually, you know, watched the Thanksgiving parade, the Macy's, which was different. They pre-recorded a lot of it over 2 or 3 days prior to, and there was no, you know, the audience was not there. So,
right.
But then it had the go from that to the National Dog Show. And so I'll be honest, first of all, my dog, who is a Scotty Westie mix, when they announced the Terriers were going to be the first group, she had to, like, stay in. And it wasn't like I was invested in watching Houston and Detroit. I mean, it's Detroit. So, I mean, there's a reason why they fired their head coach over the weekend as well. And, you know, to me, the dog show, nice distraction for her as I was decorating the tree and everything else for Christmas.
Did you watch the halftime show for the Cowboys and Washington football team?
No. What was
it? It was Kane Brown who was on there, but I didn't realize that was pre-recorded, too. So, I saw that happening, and it looked like there were fans in the stands. But then you go on, like, Twitter, and the people are posting videos of the field saying, this didn't happen live. they never made a mention about it.
I can't tell this story enough because it's still such a cool thing for everything falling in place. Plus, it takes us back to a period of time when everything was normal during college football season. But 1999, the very first year, the Titans playing in the Adelphia Coliseum, Tennessee State playing there. Tennessee State had like two crowds that year with the John Merrick Classic homecoming, 40,000 plus, right? But it just happened to be the off week. Shania Twain, the next night, she was in town because they were having the, I get confused which awards, CMA, I guess, is in October, or one or the other.
CMAs are in October.
All right, so she was in town for that. She was up for Entertainer of the Year. Well, she was going to be the halftime entertainment for Thanksgiving, and it was Dallas and the Miami Dolphins. And so we go back to the fact that she needed CBS was shooting a promo for her to be over the next 4 or 5 weeks leading into that Thanksgiving game to, hey, make sure you join me for halftime, blah, 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 blah. And she was big then. I mean, huge then. Well, they needed some football players to dress up as Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys. So I gathered together some of the players. We were off that week, and we ended up being the number one team. Tennessee State was the number one team at the FCS level leading into the playoffs that year, undefeated. And so some assistant coaches and some of the players, they dressed up as Dolphins, dressed up as Cowboys. You can go to YouTube and still see it. And then guess what? First of all, she was so nice to all the players. I didn't care how nice she was to me, and she was incredible to me. But I wanted her to be nice to all the players because you couldn't get paid for it because, you know, they're student athletes. You could get, you know, free meal, but that's it. She was so nice individually to each player and the coaches who showed up. Very next night, she gets rewarded for it by getting named the Entertainer of the Year. And then we get, and then we watch, and you know, over the next few weeks, watching the promo, and it's like, you take a little extra pride in a story like that, knowing that you helped be a part of that. So that's the one of the more intriguing things about that particular year and my involvement behind the scenes in college athletics.
That's one song that I will gladly sing at the top of my lungs, public, private, whatever. But man, I feel,
make
like,
you feel like a woman.
Love that song. That is a terrific song. Or do people look at you
strange when you start throwing out that song?
No,
because it's not really a song a guy would normally sing.
That's what I'm saying. I feel completely confident singing that song because I don't care if you're guy, woman, whatever. That song is
so
amazing.
You're in touch with your feminine side. Is that?
Oh, I'm not afraid to wear pink. I don't care. That don't bother me at all. I know my masculinity.
Look, pink does not have to be associated with females. By the way.
Oh no, it doesn't.
Who was he? Was it the Iowa coach? Didn't they paint the visiting locker room pink?
Yeah.
Just. I mean that's,
I know some
like
high schools
okay.
that did that too. By the way.
Just crossing the line a little bit. Like
that. That is funny, though.
If that impacts you, by the way, if the color of a locker room impacts you that way, then you're just not mentally tough to be playing football in the first place.
Depending on which pink, right? Because, you know, colors can impact you. They could have got more energy, right? Because pink, like a bright pink is actually an energetic color, like orange, and that could have gave them more energy and actually helped them.
I wonder if the next time these teams go in there, if they plan ahead and somehow the walls all of a sudden turn a dark red or something.
Well, see, red, that would create anger, and that might help
right.
on the field. What you want to do is you want to make it a deep purple because that entices sleep. So you start doing that, and then they may be tired, take away their energy.
So they fall asleep in the third quarter.
This is the next level, right? You know, you heard next gen stats. This is next level defeating your opponent.
Speaking of which, I bet a lot of folks not very happy with the way last night's game played out.
That's the most Eagles way to cover.
So, and the thing is, it closed at 6, so it mm-hmm. basically was a push. But
yeah.
So if you had the Seahawks giving the points, and so you give up the Hail Mary, and then, you know, what is the Eagles, what is he thinking? All right, so if you kick the extra point, you're down by 7. So they score the touchdown, and then they go for 2. So if you're, once again, you have Seattle, you're comfortably in position to win, right, given the points. So they score the touchdown, and they're like, uh-oh. And then they go for 2 instead. Because if you kick the extra point, if you've got Seattle giving the 6 or 6.5, you're still in good shape. You'll win by either a point or a half a point.
Mm-hmm.
And they go for 2, and they're successful.
So, yeah.
It's like great.
That game, you know, it's really strange. We talked about it in the last show, but it's Carson Wentz.
Which is the George Plaster show, heard 2-4 each and every afternoon.
Each and every afternoon. But, you know, you start to look at Carson Wentz. He's leading the league in interceptions. He's leading the league in sacks. He's leading the league in pressure.
And that's not sacking anybody. He leads the league in getting sacked.
Getting sacked.
Yeah, they have a rough time, the equipment manager and the staff there, getting his uniform clean for each and every game.
But, you know, Jalen Hurts steps into that game. He completes a pass. It was their first completed pass of the game, by the way. This wasn't, you know, he didn't start. Carson Wentz had already missed a couple passes going into that. And then they pull him, and they bring Carson Wentz back out. And you just wonder. And then it ends up being they have a missed play. I think it was a missed catch again. Carson Wentz missed his target, and then they have to punt it away. And you go, okay, at what point are – I get there's a lot of money tied up in Wentz, but Jalen Hurts is there. And you got to find out at some point what your guy has. And the bigger side of this, the Eagles are still in contention. They're not out of it because the East is so bad.
Every team in the NFC East, including the Dallas Cowboys, all 4 teams in contention.
You could play Hurts, and it might be – I mean, it's not the same exact situation as the Tannehill-Mariota situation, but you could have an outcome similar to that. It gives you a team a spark. It gives them a different outlook.
The fourth quarter, the whole coaching, I mean, when they were down by 11, why didn't you kick a field goal? You can close within 8. Give your team at least a chance to think that they still have a chance to win the game instead of losing close. I mean, just some terrible decision-making there.
Well, you start wondering if it's, you know, is this the players or is this the coaching and where the coaching is putting their players in? You know, that question starts coming to mind as well.
Well, but then what are you going to do when you talk about a team that won a Super Bowl under him?
I don't know.
Did he get stupid all of a sudden? I mean, think about that. Did he get stupid or just, you know, there's so many other...
Why didn't any John Gruden teams go and win a Super Bowl after they won a Super Bowl? I don't know. It's just there is something out there that's caused this, and you wonder if they're going to figure it out or not quick enough, because that's the crazy part. You know, you look at the Colts or, you look at the Browns. Let's look at the Browns, right? They have...
No, let's don't look at the Browns.
But in their situation, right, they have the Steelers 10-0, and then they have the Ravens above them, and then there they are. If they're playing in that NFC East, they are going to the playoffs. They're already winning the division. It's just they're not in the right division.
Heck, the Jets would still be in contention if the Jets were in the NFC East.
Exactly. And so they have a situation where they could actually win and go on and do something with the season as bad as it is. And you wonder, why not make the moves? Do they really think this is the best that they can put out there? You look at the coaching decisions, too, of Miles Sanders is their best player on their offense, hands down. There's nobody better than him. They only give him 6 touches on the ground last night. That is absurd. He's not hurt. He's completely healthy. What are you doing out there in Philadelphia? If I'm a Philadelphia fan, I'm sick. I am sick after that game last night.
I mean, what about, we talk about how bad the NFC East is. What about how good the NFC West is when you're talking about all four of the, even the 49ers have snuck into consideration. All four of those teams are in consideration to make the playoffs.
And it helps that they've been playing NFC East teams, because they all have, you know, and that bolstered their record all the way through. So, and those teams are good. If there was ever a year that they're going to change the way the people get into or teams get into the playoffs, this is the one they should do for just this year.
All right, by the way, speaking of Doug Peterson, he said there's no assurance that he'll finish the season. He said he has no assurances from the front office that he will keep his job the remainder of the season.
I don't blame them.
So you have that. Hey, how funny is it, though? But you're still talking about the team. Is it one of those things where you don't reward him for a terrible season if they win the division? I mean, it's like, well, let's get rid of him early so then we don't have to feel bad because your hands are tied if you win the division.
This is the Tennessee Vols beating Vandy debate we had with Mason and Pruitt, right? This is the exact same debate.
I was on earlier in Tuscaloosa today with our good buddy Ryan Fowler, and that was brought up. And we talked about the fact that, you know, I don't think there's assurances with Jeremy Pruitt. Now, here's the thing. You can say all you want if Phil Fulmer is backing him, but the problem with that is you want that to be the case, because all of a sudden you let Jeremy Pruitt go, and then you go, well, let's just turn our attention now to, are we sure we want to stop there? I mean, because once again, those two are tied, and it's great if you're having success with the other programs. I get that, but if you ask any Tennessee Vols fan, first and foremost, it is a football school in their eyes. Yes, they've had success with men's basketball. I get that. But in women's basketball, no denying that as well. But first and foremost, tradition-wise, it still starts with football. Because the last time I checked, there's not a basketball arena that seats over 100,000 folks.
No.
All right, so if you even try to get in that debate, I'll throw that one at you. And it's like, okay, give me what you got.
You wouldn't even be able to see the basketball.
I know. All right, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's picked up quite a bit on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's still a mess there in Cheatham County due to the overturned tractor trailer on State Route 249 just up from Pegram Elementary School. 800 block of M Hill Pike. That's one of the latest accidents. Still working that crash on Harding Place right at I-24. Hey, sleep with the sharks in a grown-up atmosphere at Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies, December 26th and 27th. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
The NFL family is committed to conversations and actions that advance social justice and move us towards a more equal and just tomorrow. The NFL created Inspire Change to reduce barriers to opportunity and create progress in police-community relations, criminal justice reform, education, and economic advancement. Join NFL players, clubs, and the league in ensuring that access to opportunity is a reality for all. It takes all of us to end racism and hate. Learn more at NFL.com/inspirechange.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For this afternoon, it's going to be sunny, high 42. Clear tonight, low 24. Wednesday, sunny, high 50. Mostly cloudy, perhaps a shower Thursday, high 44. Utilizing the resources of the Malevolent Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you, Zach Williams, making sure everything runs great. 615-844-5600. And to the phone lines we go, and my computer just froze up here as I was trying to find out. All right, so Ray in Nashville, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Johnny? What's up, Zach? So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Eagles.
All right.
I wanted to touch on what Zach was just saying earlier about the Miles Sanders thing. Since he's returned back from injury, his carry share went from 70-something percent down to 50, and Scott, which I have no idea, went from 18% to 47%. I'm thinking, what are the Eagles doing here? Like, you've got Miles Sanders, you've got this catch back that can do all kinds of wonders, especially with the receivers being as hurt and depleted as they've been. I was wondering what Pederson was doing last night. I think the regression that you've seen with Wentz has more to do with Frank Reich leaving 3 years ago than Doug Peterson's coaching. I think ever since he's left, Wentz has regressed since then. You could tell that he's missed it, and he's not been the same. It's pretty much almost the same offensive pieces. And their stretch for the next 3 weeks is going to be brutal. I don't know how they're still running for the NFC East. I mean, you've got three of the four teams are running on backup quarterbacks. And I hate to say it, but Alex Smith is the best quarterback in the NFC East. I mean, he really is. I mean, I don't know who else to compare to him. And I wonder myself, and this is a question I'm going to pose you guys. Do you think the Eagles will regret drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round?
Well, I mean, I heard Rex Ryan, was it yesterday, on ESPN, talking about the fact that he doesn't have the skill set for the NFL. But I'm thinking, what about, you know, we watch Aaron Murray, and Jalen Hurts certainly improved his passing ability when he went to Oklahoma for the 1 year. But to answer your question about what the Eagles are doing, what Doug Peterson is thinking, the only reason why I was paying attention, obviously, because of now, you know, betting is now legal.
Because you're a degenerate, to say it.
Well, you know, my wife has to get up early to go to sleep for her job. And so I thought I'm going to pay attention the second half. And because the game outcome was slightly in doubt, I was paying attention. And the more I paid attention, really focusing on the ineptness of it's almost like, here's Doug Peterson, let's just see how many ways I can lose this game. I mean, that was my thought process. It's like, you know, I know that they know more football than I do, but at the same time, just basic decision making, I'm like third quarter, fourth quarter going, what are you doing?
Well, I think it's a bad case, too, of living and dying with your scheme. I think some coaches get into this of, well, this is what we planned for, so this is what we're going to do. And that, I think older coaches really do get into this a lot. You know, you need to be water sometimes with your team and go back and forth. And if you need to change something or pick somebody up or go more this way, then you should do that. And everything going into the game says you should throw the ball a ton against the Seahawks. They're one of the worst defenses against over the air. But it wasn't working for the Eagles last night. They should have changed and started going to the running back, who is, once again, like I said earlier, their best player. And, you know, that what you said earlier, Johnny, about Peterson doesn't know for sure if he's going to be coming back. Well, I wouldn't either, because when you get stuck in your ways and you're calling a bad game and you're not wanting to change anything, well, you really shouldn't be the head of a team. That's just my view of it.
But do they have a number one receiver, for example? I mean, yeah, you list somebody and say he's your number one receiver, but I start looking at some of their weapons, and it kind of reminds me of the Jets situation.
Well, they have a lot of youth that isn't really fully fleshed out, right? Fulgham's kind of coming to his own a bit. Rager, we're still waiting to see what he comes. They have Alshon Jeffery, who's been injured. DeSean Jackson, who's been injured. They don't really have anybody that's the number one. Really, their best receiver that's been over the last few weeks has been the tight end spot, just whoever's that starting tight end.
Well, exactly. But my point is, that's it. That's what you got right there. And so, in all fairness, you know, you are kind of going into these games, especially when you're going up against Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, and you're thinking about what Seattle brings to the table. You can't match player by player. You know, if you think about match the quarterbacks, advantage Seattle, match the running backs, match the wide receivers. All these advantages go towards Seattle in this game.
They do, and it's just the problem for the Eagles isn't just the quarterback spot. I just wonder is if they could get their team up even more, though, and play a little better because they put in a new quarterback. And really what they would do with Hurts, they're not going to do the same scheme that they have with Wentz on the quarterback spot. It would be a more running team, which I think would help them out because they'd be using their playmakers a whole lot better than what they're currently using right now.
But guess what? Here's the problem, right? They're not paying Jalen Hurts anything close to what they're paying Carson.
$59 million dead cap.
Yeah, and they can't even get out of that contract because it looks like the Eagles have 99 problems and Wentz is only one of it. There's so many more of that. It's just crazy. But going back to your number one wide receiver, like, do they really need a number one wide receiver to be efficient? I mean, look at the Rams. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They're effective. Look at Kansas City. I mean, yeah, Tyreek Hill had a great
Tyreek Hill's definitely a number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, like, he spread the ball a lot more than anything else. I mean, like, he's had off games where he's not a big, like, you know, yard producer, like he'll go and maybe Sam Watkins will have a big game, or Kelsey has a big game. They spread the ball around.
But those teams that you mentioned, those wide receivers, you look at Cooper Kupp, you look at Robert Woods, they would easily be the number one on the Eagles because their wide receiver position is so pitiful.
That's the point I'm making. And the fact that you got a couple of those guys on your – I mean, look at the Seattle's 1-2 punch. And then you look, the Eagles, you can say, well, just spread it around. You can spread it all you want. But, I mean, how many defenses are going to really respect what you're doing with the passing game, especially if you also throw in the mix an inaccurate passer and win?
Yeah, if I'm the Eagles or I'm like any team that needs to have like a player that can catch Hail Marys, I'm picking up Rodgers. He's 2-2. So, I mean, he does it. He catches Hail Mary passes. That's what he does. So I like the chances.
Yeah. I appreciate your phone call, Ray.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Hey, the bottom line is somebody's got to win that division.
If somebody really does, and I'm not going to lie, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to.
The New York Giants, Daniel Jones most likely is going to miss a game or two with a hamstring injury. I mean, the fact that you've got New York, Washington, that still doesn't have a nickname, 4-7. So you got the leaders in the clubhouse, 3 games under .500 with 5 games to go.
I think it would be Washington. Washington's really – Antonio Gibson
out of
Memphis.
Alex Smith a lot.
He's the only competent quarterback in that division. Their defense, I think, is better than any other defense in that division. And Antonio Gibson's becoming an absolute nightmare for teams. Once they start passing the ball, which is all he did in Memphis, right, he was a pass-catching back all the time. I think he ran something under his 4 years there. He only ran the ball less than 100 times, maybe less, throughout his entire career in Memphis. That guy is dangerous in the NFL coming up next season, but right now he's starting to emerge, and that Washington team looks good. They look good every week coming up. I mean, just get better and better and better.
Speaking of coming up on the other side, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York, will get his thoughts on the NFC East and more. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. They're still dealing with that overturned truck out in Cheatham County this afternoon. It's going to be on State Route 249 going eastbound, just up from Pegram Elementary School. Again, that's in Cheatham County. Traffic's really picked up now down into Brentwood, Franklin, 65 going southbound. They were working that wreck a few minutes ago on Lindbar Drive in South Nashville. It's about the 5,000 block. It's near those apartments. Hey, check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. Online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. Chuck, you're on time traffic.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa day. Make time for a soothing facial, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Give her the gift of relaxation. Call or stop by Mokara Salon and Spa for your holiday gift cards. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa.
It's a Bill King Show.
I have this aversion to either the media or anybody else telling people what they ought to be doing with their money. Maybe in this case, it's just me versus the planet Earth. But I'm not going to tell those coaches at Tennessee or any other school, here's what you ought to be doing with your money.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Barrett Salee, National College Football Writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. But now time to talk some NFL. Pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York, the website pro32.ap.org. Barry Wilner, welcome back to the show.
Always my pleasure, Johnny. What's going on today?
Hey, life is good. First, let's start first and foremost, since you do count the votes for the MVP at the end of the year. Based on now where Derrick Henry is, leading the NFL and on pace to do it back-to-back years, but here's the other part. He needs to average less than 150 yards a game. He can join the 2,000-yard club if he's able to get that. He's, you know, just under 1,300 now. There's 5 games to go. The possibility is still there. Are you surprised that until now we haven't heard more about Derrick Henry MVP? Because it seems like there's now a growing list of folks nationwide that are maybe thinking in those terms.
I think the problem there is that so many of the TV broadcasters, particularly the ones who do the national games, don't see beyond quarterbacks. So, and most of those are not voters, thankfully. So you get this I guess it's almost politicizing and platforming for the quarterback. I've always felt that the award should be the most valuable players to his team, no matter what the position. And I think Derrick Henry, it can be argued, is by far the most valuable player on a team that seems playoff bound and could be very dangerous in the playoffs. Does that mean he'll have a chance at winning the MVP? I don't vote. I just oversee it, and I can't really answer that, Johnny. But I would say one reason we have the Offensive Player of the Year award is to hopefully reward somebody who maybe deserved consideration for MVP for having a great year and getting another award. Michael Thomas won it last year, and I was really happy to see that. And I think Derrick Henry has to be the front runner for the Offensive Player of the Year.
But if you're talking about the Titans, a division winner and a running back in Derrick Henry, back-to-back years of leading the NFL in rushing, and, oh, by the way, he joins seven others that are in the 2,000-yard club, to me, it's going to be very tough to not give it. With that said, however, four of the previous seven, there's only four winners that were named MVP. Three of those seven did not get that honor.
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, we don't look at past years for any of the awards except Comeback Player of the Year. So what you did in past years should not have a bearing on what you do this season to the voters. But, it's hard to argue that Derrick Henry has not had the kind of year that Adrian Peterson had when he won the MVP. And, you know, he's pushing the limits that guys like Eric Dickerson and Barry Sanders did. And they certainly, you know, those are Hall of Famers. So I think he'll get some consideration. And I definitely think he's a front runner, if not the front runner, for the Offensive Player.
How bad is it that when Eric Dickerson joined that club, he was the second only behind O.J. Simpson, and he had 2,105 yards, most rushing yards in the history of the NFL. Not only did he not win the MVP, he didn't get named the Offensive Player of the Year either. It was because of the magical year of quarterback Dan Marino that particular season.
Yeah, and I wasn't involved with the awards back then, but I think I would have been shaking my head a little bit at seeing that. But having said that, you know, we've got some players in this league, aside from the quarterbacks, who are having just outstanding offensive years and defensive years, too. And so it's nice that we do have an award for each of them. And, you know, when you see what Tyreek Hill did the other day, it just, you know, it makes your eyes pop out. And we've seen those kind of performances from some other players in the league, too. And here's another question for you, Johnny. To me, Derrick Henry is the leader for the all-pro running back slot. But, you know, Dalvin Cook has had a terrific year, admittedly on a not very good team. And there are some other running backs who are having some very good seasons as well. So, you know, that's something to look for as we get to the end of the season, too.
How do you think the NFL has handled COVID-19 as a whole, knowing now there's issues cropping up left and right? And it seems like the unbeaten Pittsburgh Steelers are getting are impacted the most as far as the NFL not being totally prepared before the season kicked off.
I think they've handled it pretty well through the first 9 or 10 weeks. I think what happened this past week has really been problematic. And I wrote it the other night, and I believe very strongly they need to go to an 18th week and push back the playoffs at least a week so they have some leeway. And so they don't have to force teams to be in these crazy situations. The Steelers are going to play three games in a very short amount of time. Meanwhile, the Washington football team is going to have almost 2 weeks between games, having played on Thanksgiving Day.
And Washington, by the way, is the team right now that if somebody's got to win the NFC East with Daniel Jones right now hampered with the hamstring injury, Alex Smith in Washington, what kind of story would that be if it's Washington winning the NFC East this year?
I think Washington or the Giants winning it would be a terrific story because of where they're coming from. New coaches changing the culture, particularly in Washington, where the, you know, the culture really was a cesspool in so many ways, on and off the field. So, but we have to, you know, be real here that whichever of those teams gets into the playoffs is only getting in because of the division that it's playing in. And Johnny, remember, the Washington team has Pittsburgh and San Francisco on the road and Seattle at home before playing Carolina and Philadelphia. So, you know, we're looking at very likely that Washington doesn't get beyond six wins, but six wins might be enough.
Well, yeah, because that's actually, if you win two out of five, that's actually a better percentage than what Washington and the Giants have done anyway. So they've got 4-11, so if you can get two out of these next five, that may be enough for you to win that division.
None of those teams, I think Dallas might have the easiest of the schedules, but when you look at Dallas, I mean, I don't know that there's anybody except Jerry Jones who can look at Dallas and think that it's good enough to win enough games to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Can Jerry Jones, just when you think that he's opened his mouth and says something stupid, just pay attention because he will still mystify you with the things that comes out of his mouth, just like he was comparing what Dallas threw out there at quarterback compared to what Denver threw out at quarterback on Sunday.
Well, I don't know that we can go back in history and ever find a quarterbacking situation worse than what Denver had to do. Now, the blame lies really with the Broncos and their regular quarterback, but you know, some people were pointing out, I know my friend Chris Berman pointed it out, you know, the last time a running back actually started an NFL game was Tom Matte with the Baltimore Colts, but Tom Matte was a terrific running back who threw option passes and also was an established veteran.
Right.
The guy who came out of Wake Forest as a free agent who didn't even play quarterback last season.
Look, you can blame the Denver Broncos, but you're the NFL. You're Roger Goodell. You're the commissioner. It's your job to protect the brand. Didn't see a lot of protecting the brand on Sunday with what Denver sent out on that football field.
Yeah, but there are people who feel the other way, that forcing a forfeit would be even worse. And or canceling a game and making teams play only 15 games would be worse. So there's really two sides to that coin in what protects the brand better. And having watched enough of the, I hate to mention this, Johnny, but having watched enough of the Jets this year, it wasn't a lot worse than what the Jets put out on the field.
Well, you probably have seen more Jets than I have, and I'm a Jets fan, so there we go with that. No, but this is not like I'm playing Monday morning quarterback with 20/20 vision. I said it when everything started back in August, looking to those early games in September. I thought it was just complete arrogance on the NFL's part that they didn't put a couple of weeks in there, built them in sometime, you know, halfway through the season, at the end of the season, before the playoffs, because they thought that with that arrogance that they were going to be good enough, making right decisions, so they wouldn't have any impact at all from COVID-19. To me, that's the arrogance I'm talking about with the NFL.
Yeah, I can see that, and I'm not going to argue with that. I do think that they probably needed, I'm going to definitely think they needed to have put in a week or two somewhere. And I really believe that because television will welcome having the season pushed back, the playoffs pushed back, and more NFL product basically by adding an 18th week, that is really a logical thing to do. Let's see as we get into December here if we get more outbreaks like this and if that's necessary for them to do.
Did they make the decision, by the way, about the game tomorrow with Baltimore and Pittsburgh being a 2:40 Central Time start because they didn't want to interfere with the lighting of the Christmas tree from New York?
That was part of it, for sure. Although NBC was willing to make some adjustments if needed to the nighttime schedule because, you know, frankly, the lighting of the tree doesn't draw anywhere near audience at an NFL game would, particularly a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Do me a favor, remind the listeners what they can expect when they go to pro32.ap.org.
They can expect coverage of every NFL team. And, Johnny, we're going to do something on Friday. We're going to put out a story that kind of lists how each team has been impacted by COVID-19 during this season. So there'll be a little bit about it, virtually every team. And, you know, one thing I find amazing is that Seattle has had no cases of COVID-19. That organization deserves tremendous credit.
Well, you go from that extreme, like daytime to nighttime, with some of the other teams that have been pretty bad in their decision-making, and I'll leave it at that. Hey, we appreciate you as always, Barry. You have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking again next week.
You bet, Johnny. Take care.
Thank you. That's Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. He is the guy. He's the guy that actually counts the MVP votes. That's how important he is, and it's always fun having him on. Once again, that website, pro32.ap.org. So not only keeping up with their coverage of the Titans, Teresa Walker's coverage is in there too with the Associated Press here in Nashville, but all the other 31 teams as well. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Latest crash is going to be on 40 westbound near Church Street. It's already busy enough in that area near the West Loop, trying to get to the South Loop building out of downtown, pretty much on schedule. 5,000 block of Linbar, still working that wreck South Nashville near those apartments. Traffic's really picked up in the last few minutes through Madison on 65 going northbound. Hey, check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Some sad news to report. Hendrick Motorsports tire carrier Rowdy Harrell and his wife Blakely died in a traffic accident on the way to their honeymoon in Florida. Rowdy was part of Alex Bowman's number 88 team for the last six seasons. And crew chief Greg Ives said, quote, "Our entire team is absolutely devastated at the loss of Rowdy and Blakely. Although he will be greatly missed, his memory will continue to inspire us always." Well, we now know where John Hunter Nemechek has landed. He's joining Kyle Busch Motorsports to drive their trucks in 2021. He will wheel the number 4 machine full-time and battle for that series championship. He already has 6 wins in that series to his credit so far and said in part, quote, "I'm looking forward to the opportunity to carry on the winning tradition by getting back to victory lane in the Camping World Truck Series next year. I can't thank the partners that have supported my career through the years enough for their continued support. Bring on 2021. Let's go places." Noah Gragson has enough sponsorship dollars to run full-time again in the Xfinity Series for Junior Motorsports and their number 9 car. The 22-year-old, who finished the year strong with 6 top 3 finishes over the final 10 races, along with 2 wins on the season, 17 top 5s and 25 top 10s, will look forward to capture his first NASCAR National Series Championship in 2021.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. Like us.
The COVID-19 pandemic continues to weigh on us. While we all feel helpless, remember there is much we can do to protect ourselves, our family and friends, all of us. Simply get in the habit of wearing a mask and maintain 6 feet of space between yourself and others in public. Wash your hands often and stay home if you feel sick. It takes all of us to combat COVID-19. Go to cdcfoundation.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of the Mice Nest.
Mice Nest?
Yes, Mice Nest. It's a nest of mice. They finished chewing through your RV wiring, so the fire should start soon.
Can we cancel that?
Oh, sorry. Once scheduled, they can't really stop because they're mice. A nest of them.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Oh, and if you could stay on the line for a quick survey.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online, and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. So I was looking at, because when I saw that about Eric Dickerson, once again, most rushing yards in the history of the NFL, passing O.J. Simpson. He was only the second guy to join the 2,000-yard club. Now there's seven. But he did not win the MVP, did not win the Offensive Player of the Year. Dan Marino, that was the year he threw over 5,000 yards for the Miami Dolphins. They went 14-2. He had 48 touchdown passes, but he had 52 votes compared to Eric Dickerson's 18. It kind of reminded me of the back in 1941, you had Joe DiMaggio, 56-game hitting streak, and then even when that streak ended, then he added he hit in 16 straight after that. So basically hitting safely in 72 of 73 games to win the MVP. He beat out Ted Williams, who was the last person to hit over 400. He batted 406, and Williams finishes second to DiMaggio. It kind of reminded me of what Eric Dickerson did, finishing second to Dan Marino for the league's MVP back in 84.
The quarterback will always get all the praise.
Well, you see it on TV. That's what Barry was bringing up, too. Yeah. All the recognition for the quarterbacks and not enough love for the Derrick Henrys of the world, because it's a pass-happy league, and it's like what Derrick Henry, rushing-wise, he has more rushing yards than I think 20 other NFL teams, you know, when you look at their totals, combining all of that running back by committee. That's what Derrick Henry has been able to do to this point for the Titans. All right, coming up in hour two, a lot of college football chat. Barrett Salee with CBS Sports, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Tonight, the second unveiling of the College Football Playoff Committee's poll. And then Ryan Callahan will join us around 5:35 or so from Knoxville to talk Tennessee Vols football and more. Hour number two on the way. Stay with us, everybody.
WPDQ. Thanks, Farrell.